Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
But the book of Genesis is a wonderful book. I'm going to read chapter 47. It is a rather lengthy passage of scripture, so bear with me, but it is good. Listen, read along. Put yourself into the shoes of Jacob or Joseph or maybe even Pharaoh and find out something from God this morning. Let's read verse 1. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen." He took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh said unto his brethren, "What is your occupation?" They said unto Pharaoh, "Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." They said moreover unto Pharaoh, "For to sojourn in the land are we come. For thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen." Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. And the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. And the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle." Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, "How old art thou?" And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my father in the days of their pilgrimage." And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their family. There was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, "Give us bread. For why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth." And Joseph said, "Give your cattle, and I'll give you for your cattle if money fail." And they brought in their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for flocks and for the cattle of the herds and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for the year. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, "We will not hide from my lord how that our money is spent. My lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my lord, but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh. And give us seed, that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate." And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the border of Egypt even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh. He did eat their portion, and did eat their portion with which Pharaoh gave them, wherefore they sold not their land. Then Joseph said unto the people, "Behold, I have bought you this day in your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and 4 parts shall be your own, for seed, for the field, for your food, for them of your household, and for the food of the little ones." They said, "Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priest only, which became not Pharaoh's. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen. And they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. He called his son Joseph and said unto him, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me, Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I'll do as thou hast said. And he said, swear unto me. And he sware unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. Let's pray. Father, help me this morning. Guide me, direct me. A long passage of Scripture, but so many interesting things. What a great story. We're so thankful for the history that we can read and for the truths that we can gather. And Father, as I bow before you this morning, I need your help. And I really don't need your help. I just want to be a vessel. You just do the work. And I pray that you'll use me this morning. There may be a friend here that doesn't know you, your son Jesus, as their personal Savior. If they were to leave this room this morning not knowing you, and if something were to happen, then they would spend an eternity separated from you. And of course, that would be in a place called hell and eventually the lake of fire. Lord, we don't want anybody to die and go to hell. And so if there's a friend here that doesn't know you as their Savior, may this morning they trust you. May your Holy Spirit convict them in such a way that they'll come seeking you. And of course, you promised if they seek, they'll find. Now give me wisdom as we discuss some things. And Father, I pray that our brothers and sisters in Christ this morning will know and see some truths that can help them to be better prepared to serve you. We love you. Now bless this service and keep the distractions down so that we may be able to get what your Holy Spirit wants for us. We invite him in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we find our way back to Genesis. And we'll be, as we read the entire chapter, verse chapter 47, we'll see some great things. And this morning we're going to look at Joseph again and compare him to the Savior Jesus. This chapter starts off with Joseph's brethren standing before Pharaoh. It's interesting to me that he picks five brethren to stand before Pharaoh. We're not given their names. My imagination assumes that Judah would be one of them. Maybe even Benjamin. Not sure. But there are five out of the 11 brethren that are selected to stand before Pharaoh. And then Joseph does something interesting. He brings his father in, Jacob. Jacob walking in. I just imagine him with a cane walking in up to Pharaoh. Pharaoh looks at him, and Pharaoh's question is this: how old are you? Evidently, one of two things. Jacob didn't look that old, or Jacob looked really old. How old are you? And Jacob says, I love how Jacob says it, my pilgrimage is 130 years. Of course, you also see that he lived 17 years with Joseph. 17 years were given back to Jacob and Joseph. That sin, the sin of the brethren, took away. This morning, we're going to look at Joseph again. We're going to compare it to Christ. We're going to compare Joseph's life to Christ. And I want you to understand something this morning. There are no perfect comparisons in Scripture to the Lord Jesus Christ. No one matches up to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want us to look at the passage, and I want us to kind of find out what kind of God Jesus is in just simply seeing what kind of leader Joseph was. The first thing that I want you to note is I want you to see Joseph's grace. Joseph's grace. Now that we've introduced Joseph's five brethren to Pharaoh, we've introduced Jacob to Pharaoh. Joseph's brothers are told by Joseph to ask Pharaoh for a portion of land. Ask for Goshen. The grace of Joseph here is that, number one, Joseph was gracious in the dwelling of his brethren. He was gracious in their dwelling. He says, go to Pharaoh and ask for Goshen, which is also known as Ramses. Now, this is interesting. I think this is just wonderful, and it's just so like the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason that Joseph wanted those boys to live in Goshen is because of what Goshen means. The word Goshen simply means to draw near. Joseph wanted his brethren. Joseph wanted Jacob to be near Joseph. Then the like of the Lord Jesus Christ, in your and my dwelling upon this earth, even though we, if you're saved and you know Christ, and if you're not saved, you know He wants us to be near Him. If you're saved, He wants you to get closer to Him. He uses this passage of Scripture, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. You right now, brethren and sisters in Christ, you right now are as close to God as you want to be. And there's nobody's fault. There's nobody's fault other than your and my fault. There's nobody's fault that we're not closer except for our own. If you're not as close to Christ as you want to be, there's only one person to blame, and that's the person you look in the mirror every morning at. He says, if you'll draw nigh to me, I definitely will draw nigh to you. Oh, my friend, I see Joseph wanting his brethren near. He even puts him in the land of Goshen, which means to dwell near. I want you to know that Jesus Christ wants you and me to dwell near Him. He wants us to be near Him at all times. I mean near Him. The word Ramses means thunder that destroys. They could call on Joseph, the one that had the voice of authority anytime they needed anything. I want you to know that you and I can go to Jesus Christ and we can go to Him and we can call on His name, and He has the voice of authority, He has the voice of thunder, and He can do anything that He wants to do that doesn't go against His character or His nature or the Word of God. And God is all powerful, and if you go to Him with your problem, He's the God that can voice the power through His voice, and He can change the circumstances that you're in right now. He could also confuse your enemies, and His voice can bring peace, and His voice can bring destruction. God's powerful. Joseph wanted his brethren to dwell in Goshen, Ramses, because he wanted them to dwell close to them. He wanted them to know that he had the voice of authority. Anything that Joseph ever were to say while Joseph was alive was done according to the will of Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, you can do anything. There's nobody that you answer to but me. And the only person that I answer to is no one. He was the second in command. Powerful. He was gracious in where he wanted his brethren to dwell. I also want you to know that he was gracious in their placement. He placed them with position. Jesus has placed all that know Him in a great position with Him. Joseph placed his brethren with possessions. They had the best land in all of Egypt. He placed them with a portion. Jesus has a great portion for us. He wants us to be used by Him, and what He does is always great. I see that Joseph was gracious to his brethren in their dwelling and in their placement. But I also want you to see that Joseph was gracious to those that he did not know. People from all over the world came to Joseph for food. He continued to make provision for them even after they had nothing to give. It reminds me of our Lord, doesn't it? He graciously provides for those that do not know Him. Maybe you're here this morning or listening and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that He has graciously provided for you. He says it this way, He lets it rain on the just and the unjust. Every farmer that knows Jesus Christ, they have been given enough rain, maybe too much, but they've given enough rain to be able to farm their fields and to take care of their cattle. But I want you to know, for every believing farmer that has had the rain fall on their farm, there are unbelieving farmers that have had the rain fall on their farm too, because God is gracious even to those that do not know Him. He's gracious time and time again by giving people chance after chance to accept Him as their personal Savior. He is so gracious. I mean, he lets the unsaved person be successful if they work hard and try. He lets the unsaved person have things that are of nice value. He even lets the unsaved person find sleep. But there's no rest, and there's nothing more precious than in knowing Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is gracious to you. He is long-suffering. But oh, please be warned, He is not forever suffering. And if you refuse Him for the last time, then His graciousness, His mercy will cease. No one in hell receives God's grace. No one in hell receives God's mercy. The second thing I want you to notice is Joseph's government. The way Joseph ran things, this is a powerful truth. As you read what took place, it's interesting. So here's how Joseph governed this place. God gave Joseph enough wisdom to understand in the dream that there are going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. 7 years of plenty, Joseph knew. And so Pharaoh put Joseph in charge. And for 7 years, Joseph saved and saved and had a rainy day account. And then the 7 years of famine, Joseph had plenty of food for everybody. So people were to come in. Now, he wasn't just going to give it away. And so people said, we'll give you money for food. He says, all right, give me money for food. And the Bible says he took all the money and he put it into Pharaoh's house. Joseph didn't keep it. Pharaoh got it. Are you ready? Everything that was given was put under the authority of the throne. All the gold, when they ran out of gold, give me your cattle. And all the cattle was put under the authority of the throne. When the cattle ran out, he bought all the land. And all of the land was put under the authority of the throne. And then he said this. He says, here's what I'm going to do for you. Now that you have no more gold, you have no more cattle, you have no more land, I will not make you slaves as you've asked me to make you slaves. I will not do that to you. I'll let you have your freedom. All I require is that I'm going to give you seed. You plant the seed, and 1/5 of everything that you grow, you bring it back under the authority of the throne. 4/5 can be yours to do whatever you need to do with. Take care of your family. Provide for your children. Provide for your home. Sell it. Make money for provision. But 1/5 I want you to give back to the throne. I want that to set under the authority of the throne. And the people said this, you have saved our lives. Friend, everything that you and I have, if you're saved this morning, everything that you and I have should be put under the authority of the heavenly throne. Everything. Everything that we own, everything that we possess, everything that we drive, everything that we wear should be put under the authority of the throne. Now, God doesn't require us to give 1/5 back. He just says, give me a tenth, a tithe. Now, believers, I know that we don't like to preach on tithe, but I believe when we get to heaven, one of the biggest things that you're going to be mad at your preacher about is, number one, he didn't preach enough on tithes. Because you can't outgive God, and you're going to find out when you get to heaven, you're going to wish that the preacher would have said more about it, because preachers don't like to preach on it because it's uncomfortable to talk about politics and money, right? But I'm telling you this morning that God tells us that you need to bring a tenth into the storehouse. You need to bring a tithe of what you earn belongs to Christ. Listen, a tithe is not an offering. It's not. A tithe is not something that you give of your own free will if you're a believer. A tithe is, are you ready? A requirement. And can I tell you this? He says, Jesus says, you're not going to rob me. Be not deceived, I'll not be mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that will he also reap. And I want you to know that a tithe is not an option. It's God's, and he will get his. I've known stories, and guys were like, you know, I knew I needed to give my tithe, but I decided I wasn't going to give my tithe because I didn't have enough money to give my tithe. And here's how much my tithe was, and I drove my car down the road, and my tire blew out, and I had to get new tires. And you'll never, they say it this way, and you'll never guess how much that tire cost. I've heard of those things happening. And here you say, has it ever happened to you? Probably, but I have selective memory. And I don't want to get to that point. I really don't. You know, even our tithes needs to be put under the authority of the throne. Friend, this is not a sermon about giving, but I just want you to know you can't outgive God. Now, anything above a tithe, like your faith promise, anything above a tithe is an offering. That is sacrificial giving. You can't outgive God in that. You say, well, I'm going to increase my faith promise and I'm going to give more. I don't know how I'm going to give more, but I'm going to give more. I'll guarantee it'll be there and God will provide. And you'll not miss it. You may think you are, but you won't. I just know of too many stories and I've witnessed too many things to know that you really truly can't outgive God. You can't do it. You can't do it. But I see that the way that Joseph governed his people is that he made sure that everybody was put under all of their possession was put under the authority of the throne. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ wants you and me to put ourselves and submit ourselves under the authority of the Almighty. Have you? What are you holding in your hands that you have not submitted? Pretend life is a keychain, and everything that you have is represented by a key. If you just hold on to one key, the rest of the keys can't get away. It's kind of like the fruit of the Spirit. There's not 9 different fruits of the Spirit. There's one fruit of the Spirit. And here, are you ready? You either have it all, or you have none of it. You either have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, or you have none of it. You can't say, well, I have love, but I won't have temperance. You don't have the fruit of the Spirit because it's not fruit of the Spirit. It's fruit of the Spirit. Read it, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It's fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, the singular, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And against such, there is no law. Do you have the fruit of the Spirit this morning? If we don't have the fruit of the Spirit, then we're not under the authority of the throne. Now, I would much rather willfully bend my knee in submission to the authority of the throne of God than for the Lord to have to bend my knee. There's a difference. I see that Joseph's government, I see that he put everything under the authority of the throne. He took all the material blessings and put it under the authority of the throne. He took all the spiritual blessings. We need to take all of our material blessings and put it under the authority of the throne. We need to take all of our spiritual blessings and put it under the authority of the throne. See, our personal spiritual life should be put under the proper authority. We sometimes try and live our spiritual life without the Holy Spirit. We force ourselves to do until we grow weary. Now, I'm all for not quitting. I like the idea, don't quit. You should never quit that which you have started. But we need to realize that if we tap into the Holy Spirit and He's running our life, we can and will be able to do so much more with such better results. Another way that I see that we need to put our spiritual life under the authority of the throne is that we need to know that those that we love that are lost need to be placed also under the authority of the throne. We sometimes, and with good intention, try to force Jesus down our loved one's throat. You can lead a horse to water. You may be able to bend that horse's neck, and you may be able to stick that horse's face into water. You may even drown the horse, but you cannot make it drink. And sometimes I think good-intended people just nag their loved ones to death. They nag their loved ones to death about being saved. Now, I want them saved too. You want them saved, and Jesus wants them saved. But there is a better way than nagging your loved one to death, and that's being salt and light. Salt and light. The old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But if you give a horse enough water, he will drink. You give enough horse salt, he will drink. And we as believers, we need to be salt. And maybe that loved one that you're going after and trying to win for Christ, maybe you need to learn to be salt and light. How can I be salt, dear God? How can I make him or her thirst after righteousness? I can't make him get saved. You won't make him get saved. That goes against your character because you gave everybody a free will. And I can't make them get saved because if I could make them get saved, I would. But I can't. So what can I do, dear God? How can I be salt? Maybe it's as simple as baking cookies. God says, bake them some cookies and take it to their house. Call them. Mow their grass. Don't ask if they need it mowed, and don't take any money. Just go do it. Send them some groceries. You know they're having a hard time. Hey, friend, I want you to know, you be enough salt, they'll start thirsting after what you have. And if what you have is the Holy Spirit, that's what they'll want to drink. We need to submit our loved ones under the authority of the throne, physically. You know, we can think that our health and our exercise and our diet is good, and we should exercise and we should diet appropriately, and we should take the appropriate medicine. But again, our safety is not in practicing physicians, it's in the great physician. And so you and I need to even take our physical well-being and put it under the authority of the throne. But I finally want you to see this, and we're closing. I see Joseph's grace, I see Joseph's government, and finally I see Joseph's goodness. Joseph's goodness. We've mentioned this already, but Joseph's goodness to the people. He was so good to them. He told them, he said, listen, if you don't have enough here and you don't have enough here, I'll make sure that you have seed. We just give 1/5 back. I'm going to make sure that you're going to be provided for, but you need to put yourself under the authority of the throne. My friend, God has been so good to us. He has blessed us far beyond what we deserve. It's interesting that He doesn't require in giving all of our money, but He only requires us to give 10%. He only required them to give 1/5. You know, Joseph, they were willing to be servants. You know what that means? They were willing, they volunteered themselves to say, hey, you give us seed, we will be the servants of Pharaoh, we will be Pharaoh's slave. Do you know what that would mean if they were Pharaoh's slave? They wouldn't get 1/5, they wouldn't get 4/5, they would get 0/5. Because all of it would be Pharaoh's, and Pharaoh would see to it that they ate somehow. But they didn't. Joseph didn't do that. Joseph says, you just bring in 1/5 and take care of the rest of your family. We're not interested in you being slaves, but we do want you to be under the authority of the throne. You know, Jesus isn't interested for mindless slaves. He's interested for willing participants and volunteers. If you're saved this morning and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, He's been so good to you and me. Has He not been good to you? I mean, you don't have to give testimony, but I just want you to think in your brain and your heart, has He been good to you? If you don't think He's been good to you, you should have gone visiting with me yesterday. I would have taken you into some homes where you're thinking, oh my goodness. God bless them. Some of the homes I went into, their lives were just short-lived. It won't be long. And here you are, healthy, able to do pretty much what you want to do. They can't even get out of bed. And I know probably all of us one day will come to some kind of journey like that, but it's not today. And so while you can serve the Lord, you need to serve the Lord. And be grateful for what God has given you because He has been so good to you. If you're lost today, He has been so good to you too. because he's let you live another day, not knowing him, let you live another day, and primarily for the sole purpose that you will know him, so that you don't have to live for 50 years, so that you can live forever, because he loves you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if you're here today and you don't know Christ, Jesus, he wants to be your Savior.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today. We also stream our services live on Facebook, facebook.com/Victory Baptist Church WV. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a blessed day.